seemingly doesn't matter sin that we've done. We know some of the sins of our life, and we can understand why they would be called wicked or evil, but there's so many things we do that we know we shouldn't, and things that God has convicted us of, but we just sort of push it aside. All of them Jesus died for. I can't comprehend it. In Sunday school I talked about the wonder. Can you imagine that when Jesus was on the cross, even if it was just all of the sins of us, it would be awesome and awful. But all of the sins of every person who ever has lived and will live, all of them were put on Jesus.
Amen.
I cannot comprehend that. I read it, I believe it, but I cannot comprehend it. It's just not a mental acknowledgement of it happening. He was loosed from the pains of death. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto did he call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, never a thing that he ever uttered that would have been wrong. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't shout back. Tell me, who in this room has ever been in an argument, in a fight with somebody, and when something was said, you just stood there like a sheep before her shears is dumb, and you said nothing back? No, we revile back. We throw things back and forth, cast them in the other person's face. I cannot do your accusations with things you've done. Oh, my goodness. Look at what else it says. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, look at this one. When he suffered, he threatened not. When one man causes affliction on another and suffering on another, it's not uncommon that it would be verbalized, but for sure it's in the mind. Suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteous. He committed himself to God.
Amen.
He knew this was wrong. He knew he didn't deserve it. But he did not. I knew a fellow one time who said, I don't get mad, I get even. And that's what he lived by. Maybe that describes one of you. If it does, that's why the Bible says repentance is needed. You need to change that. Because it's going to ruin your life. God has raised him. The impossible happened. But it had to happen. He rose again because he had to rise. Listen, a dead God is a contradiction. How could he help us at the time of our death if he was dead? That's why all of these leaders of religions who claim to be for God, or many of them claim to be God, and they die, and people make pilgrimages to where they're buried. How can that dead person be of any help to a living person when the living one dies?
That's right.
All he can say is, welcome to hell. He can't help them any, but Jesus is different. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is different. He's alive. He's alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54 says, so when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's when this corruptible body puts on incorruption, going to get a new body. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. I mean, this is the real thing. This is not some TV program that concocts immortals, you know, who keep coming back and keep fighting like the Highlander did. Keeps coming back, keeps fighting. No, that's make-believe. This is real. This is going to happen. The mortal will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. You can read this elsewhere in the Bible. Death is swallowed up in victory. I was at two funerals this past week, and they were both Christians. So though they were out of the body, their soul was with the Lord. But I was at two funerals, and death for them was swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Because they knew Christ as their Savior. Now listen, it's as simple as this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, when you die, death is not going to be swallowed up in victory. Death will have its victory. And you'll be bound with excruciating pain by those sins. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? Both of those men that I went to their funeral service, they were taken to the cemetery. They were in a casket. That was put in the vault. They were in the ground. The backhoe covered it over. But listen to me. Grave is not victorious.
Amen.
Come a day when they'll come up out of the ground. Now, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is alive. Spiritual life. We sang it in both songs. Christ arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. We sing those songs on Easter Sunday. They can be sung other times. Okay? And occasionally they are, but they're sung on Easter Sunday. And you know, I've had people tell me through the years, well, why do we celebrate Easter? You know, every Sunday we remember, we meet on Sundays because it's when Jesus rose from the dead. Why do we have to celebrate Easter? Well, we don't have to. We choose to. You know, this day, along with Christmas, society in general is thinking about the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, I know it's commercialized. I know it's traditionalized. Created a word there, I think. Okay? I understand that. And we have an understanding from the Bible of what it means. But why should we not celebrate it? Why should we not take advantage? We had some Easter tracts. Oh, I see they're still there. I'm sorry about that. We had two different tracts that when you were shopping for your eggs, your bunnies, or whatever, if you shopped for them, you could have given that tract. Because those clerks had to put all that stuff out. They're aware of Easter. They'll be glad when it's over. Their store can get back to normal. But we can take advantage of that. You see? Or we can be one of those happy Christians. Well, I don't do the things that the world does. I know better than that.
Yeah.
I worship the Lord. Not an Easter one. Well, I do too. You won't find an Easter bunny in my house. But that doesn't mean that I don't praise the Lord for this day. Oh, I don't have enough time to go on with that approach. But Let me tell you, he rose from the dead. He gives us spiritual life. And now listen, when you give somebody a tract, you say, this is about Easter. This is about Jesus Christ. Would you take it home and read it when you have time? And the natural man understands not the things of God, Paul told the Corinthians. The natural man. Man in his natural state doesn't understand the things of God. It won't make sense to them. But the Spirit of God can reveal it to them. And when you give that tract to somebody, that might just be a 25-year-old worker, some 28-year-old guy, okay, who stocks the shelves, and you give them the tract. You don't know, did you, that his grandmother was praying for him?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know, did you, that his mother faithfully teaches a Sunday school class? You didn't know that he's been prayed for? Well, how could I know that? We can. That's why we just do our job. We're to sow the seed. We're to sow the word. And then God takes care of how it's used. But you see, he can't speak into somebody's heart if the seed isn't sown. That's where we come in. Our obedience to tell others. Why Easter? Why the resurrection? Because he, Jesus, is God. And it is not possible that he should behold and be held of death.
Amen.
He had to rise. Not only he couldn't stay dead, but he had to rise because he knew that one day we need his work so that we too would not have to stay dead. All right, that we'd have new life and eventually a new body. Father in heaven, thank you.